Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I have very few pieces of advice or wisdom that don't come from the Bible. You know, just stuff I figured out on my own that I feel so confident about it that I would say, write this down. This is universally true. But today I have one of those. So write this down. Universally true. Never, ever, under any circumstances, ask a woman if she is pregnant. So a few years ago, we were out at a restaurant, and our waitress was bringing out drinks, silverware, that kind of stuff, menus. She appeared possibly to be with child. Selena, with a great enthusiastic smile, said, "When is your baby due?" She said, "I'm not pregnant." All I could think is, where can I hide? I mean, I had the menu like touching my nose, slouched down in the seat as close to under the table as I could get. And you know, the waitress handled it so well. It was almost touching. She laughed. And seemed, like, sincere. She didn't seem upset or anything in the least. She laughed, and then she tried to help. She said, "Oh, you must be thinking of so-and-so, one of the other waitresses. She is pregnant." And Selena, you know, former star of the high school drama club, said, "That's right, that's what I meant. Of course, I was thinking of her." We've never seen or heard of that other person in our lives. I don't know if that waitress was any sort of Christian or not, but her reaction, at least on the surface, her reaction made it seem like she was secure in her place in life, even maybe joyful about it. And it certainly, what it did was release Selena from the guilt and embarrassment that she probably deserved. I mean, if the waitress burst into tears and ran away, that lunch would have been had a different feel to it, you know. And like I said, all we could do is read the surface level. It's totally possible something horrible happened to our food between the stove and our table. But it really didn't seem like it. It didn't seem like she took the episode too seriously. I think it was fine. We didn't go back for 3 or 4 years, but. So we're in Genesis 21 this week. Chapter 19 last week is where God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But for the sake of Abraham, he let Lot and his family escape. It's not a clean escape. Lot's sons-in-law decided not to leave. Lot's wife looked longingly back at the city and turned into a pillar of salt. Lot and his two daughters did make it to safety, but then after that, you know, after last week's text and before this one, we have a couple more shameful episodes. I told you about the first one last week. Lot's daughters are apparently shaped by the moral depravity of Sodom, get their father intoxicated and take advantage of him two nights in a row. He impregnates both of them. And then we have a sort of deja vu episode where Abraham is afraid of Abimelech, king of Gerar. So he gave Sarah to him to do with as he pleased, exactly like he did in chapter 12 with Pharaoh in Egypt. But this time God intervened more quickly and prevented Abimelech from, you know, making the most of the arrangement, told him to give her back to Abraham. He did. So, you know, yet another reminder that we're not dealing with people who are always actively righteous in their deeds, but they are passively righteous, accounted so by God because of their faith. And that brings us to our text today. We're 25 years after God first spoke to Abraham and promised to make his family into a great nation and then eventually many nations. One in particular through which God will bless the whole world. So at this point, Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. They both have at different times broken out in laughter when God had promised that they're going to have a son together. They think they're too old for this to happen, and they even tried to make it happen on their own terms with the servant girl, Hagar, sort of a surrogate. God continued to say, nope, your child is Hagar. Ishmael is not the one that I'm talking about. So the two of you, Abraham, Sarah, you two are going to have a child together. And now since you laughed about it, I want you to name the child Isaac. In Hebrew, Isaac means laughter. Okay, so that's where we are. Now let's look at the text. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. Well, of course he did. He's trustworthy. He always keeps his word. He made a promise, kept it. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. So after all these years, quarter of a century, right when God planned to do it, when Abraham and Sarah were so old that there could be no doubt at all that this was God's work, a son is finally born. And notice the emphasis on God's speaking, God's word here in these first two verses. The Lord visited Sarah as he said, and he did to her as he promised, and it happened at the time of which God had spoken to them. See, it's, Moses is firmly establishing for us here that this is all happening according to the word of God. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. This is Abraham's son who Sarah bore to him, not the son Hagar bore to him. But Sarah, just like God had promised, and Abraham, she conceives like God had promised, and Abraham did what God told him to do after the baby was born. First things first, he names the child Isaac, like God said. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Again, as God commanded. Abraham does what God said, makes Isaac a son of the covenant. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. So in Hebrew, there's a play on words here. So it's like, it says Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made Isaac for me. Everyone who hears will Isaac over me. Right? So in English, they don't translate it when it's a name, but they do translate it when it means laugh. So you can't see that it's the same word every time, right? So Sarah, I guess the point is, Sarah seems to have a sense of humor for whatever that's worth, and she knows everyone who finds out about this is going to, they're going to laugh. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I've borne a son in his old age. And again, emphasis on the word, who would have said that Sarah would nurse children? Well, only one agent that I can think of, and that's God. So it's an absurd thing to say. It's impossible. It's comical to even think it. Everyone who hears about it either has laughed or is going to laugh. And God said it, so it's true. The hysterical has happened. Laughter has been born. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. So usually a child in that culture would be weaned from breastfeeding at about 3 years old. And it's pretty common to throw a feast at that time. It's kind of like a rite of passage because infant mortality rate is so high. If a kid makes it to 3 years old and is weaned from the mother, well, that's a pretty good sign, you know, like you could start to let yourself feel an even greater attachment to the child now because there's a better chance he's going to make it. But this feast is above and beyond that even. You know, this feast isn't 3 years in the making. This feast is 28 years in the making. It isn't just that a child has arrived and survived. It's that God has kept a nearly three-decade-old promise, an impossible, comical promise. So the flow of the text is God kept his promise. Everything happened just like he said it would. Abraham responded by doing what God said to do. Sarah took note of the miraculous, hilarious nature of the whole thing, and Abraham threw a feast. They celebrated. And there haven't been many of these since Genesis 2, but what we have in this passage this morning is a spot where everything goes right. Everything works the way it's supposed to work. A promise believed plus a promise kept leads to new life, obedience, wonder, laughter, celebration. To think about what the 9 months leading up to this must have been like. I mean, even before that, you know, way before that, Abraham and Sarah both laughed cynically at the possibility of Sarah having a baby. In fact, God called Sarah out on it. If you remember that, he says, "You, why are you laughing?" And she says, "I wasn't." And he says, "Yes, you were." And then he left. That was it. So think about everybody else. You know, Sarah says everyone who hears about this is going to laugh about it. But, you know, I'm guessing whether she knows it or not, some people already had laughed about it. You know, smart aleck kids whispering to each other, "Look at that old lady. She looks pregnant." She would have been wearing, you know, baggier clothes than women in our society. But by the end, people who knew her for sure would have started wondering what was going on. And the only reason Sarah may have been unaware that people were already laughing is, you know, because everyone on earth besides my wife knows you should never go up to a person to bring that up. But, you know, before the baby was born, there was cynical laughter, at least from Abraham and Sarah, and my bet is from lots of other people too. And what does God say? God says, "Laugh it up. You'll see." And what did he do? Well, he did the absurd. He fulfilled the comical. He sent them 7 pounds, 8 ounces of living, breathing laughter incarnate. They even have to name him that. And they wondered at it. And they laughed, and they knew everyone else would too. But now it's different. It's not the same laughter as it was before. It's not cynical, skeptical, doubtful laughter. Now it's joyful, amazed, thankful laughter. Sarah takes it as a gift. You know, God has given me laughter. Is she talking about the child himself or the physical response of laughter to this comical event? You know, how do you translate it there? Probably both ways. This is what the faithfulness of God does. It takes doubt and cynicism and transforms them in light of the word and promise of God, and then it gives it back. And it gives it back to you as joy and wonder. And there's still laughter, but now it's transformed laughter. It's holy, sanctified laughter that leads to a feast of thanksgiving. And he keeps doing this sort of thing. He gives children to several other women in the Old Testament who otherwise couldn't have them up to the point in life when God decided to give them. But then when we get to the New Testament, in Luke 1, God finds another old woman, Elizabeth, and she's never been able to have children until her old age when God made her the mother of John the Baptist. And right after he promised that, it's almost like God said, "Well, I've done that trick enough times now. I'm going to shake things up and visit a virgin." I mean, who would have even thought of that? Mary was, when she found out, curious, maybe probably confused. Joseph was angry and afraid. 9 months later, angels visited shepherds out in their fields, and you remember what they said, "We bring you good news of great joy." And God took confusion and fear and anger and transformed them and gave them back with this child, joy in the flesh. And God has made you big promises connected to that child, son of laughter, son of Isaac, the embodiment of joy. He's promised through that child, all the families of the earth will be blessed to live in the land of God, in the presence of God, family of God. He's promised to take away your sin, to reverse your death, defeat your enemies, the serpent that's crushed. And he's throwing a feast. This morning, He's giving you a chance to bring Him your doubt and your fear, your cynical laughter, the possibility that He can act to do whatever it is He promises, to save you or to take care of you. Things can turn around in the world, country, our state, your household, your individual life. So you have a chance this morning to bring your dark Isaac, your dark laughter, bring up here to God and let God transform it. Send you away with light laughter, light Isaac, holy laughter, rooted in the certainty that God not only can promise you a joyful outcome to this life, He will keep that promise no matter what. And then you'll be more apt to let go of the things, trust even more deeply, and so let go of some things and trust even more deeply and obey God's commands even more closely, which comes right before more laughter, more wonder, more celebration, which we'll be doing here again next week, every Sunday, and watch and see if it doesn't spill out of the walls of this building into other corners of your life. See if there isn't some holy laughter this Friday night at the adult social. I bet there will be. See if there isn't, holy laughter when you notice more and more odd, unlikely ways that God seems to be taking care of you. God seems to be keeping promises to you. And here's the last thing. There's a flip side to all of this. God does have a sense of humor. And sometimes you might be part of the joke. Right? So He may do something weird with your life that has a bigger purpose. I mean, I doubt you're going to be a pregnant 90-year-old lady or pregnant virgin or hear a talking donkey get swallowed by a fish. I don't know what odd, weird thing it will be. But you could be called to live a different sort of life that looks funny to people around you. Could be as simple as someone says something embarrassing to you, and instead of taking yourself too seriously, you laugh. And you put the comment in the larger context of the victory of Christ over all evil. And through your holy laughter, you release that poor, embarrassed person to move on and enjoy her lunch. So whatever it is, remember, in the Bible, the person who God uses to bring about the laughter is a privileged person. So the pregnant old lady is a privileged person, right? This is a gift, a great gift, to be the weird person that God uses to bring joy and wonder, celebration, even laughter to His people. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.